The National Science Foundation has just awarded a $2 billion contract to Lockheed Martin for infrastructure and technological support for the mission in Antarctica. Lockheed says it's using its expertise in extreme environments like space travel to get this job done down on the lower part of the Earth. Rick Heave is Vice President of Information Systems and Global Solutions at Lockheed Martin, and he's a former astronaut. He joins us now with more on this new collaboration. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning. I'm really pleased to be with you.
All right. So there is a station in Antarctica, and what will Lockheed do for the station?
Yeah, actually, there are three of them, and it's our job to make sure that those stations operate safely and effectively to support the science that the National Science Foundation conducts there. So it's everything from, you know, putting in light bulbs to bringing the food in to operating a little commissary, build a new facility if they need it, whatever it takes to run a small town.
Well, give us an idea of what it's actually like there, because all I know is it's cold. But how cold and how does that affect life?
Well, I often have chuckled. You mentioned the spaceflight connection. A really, really nice day at the South Pole is a really bad day at the South Pole is like a really, really nice day on Mars, except that Mars doesn't have the air you can breathe. It's often described as the coldest, highest, driest place on the globe. And, you know, you can see, I grew up in North Dakota. You don't see very many days as nice as the coldest day in North Dakota there.
So give us a sense how you're going to kind of get that equipment to Antarctica. I mean, and how does that relate to kind of back to the work with NASA in terms of getting things, for instance, to the International Space Station?
Well, when you think about the National Science Foundation's mission there, there's kind of three primary things that they're trying to do. Expanding fundamental knowledge of the region. So there's sort of an exploration aspect to what happens in Antarctica. And then there's research on global and regional problems that are scientifically important. And finally, to do things that you can only do in Antarctica. So very parallel to spaceflight in the sense of the exploration, broad global research in the world of science. And then, again, as in space, you have microgravity. In Antarctica, you have the cold, the dry, and the high climate. So it gives you an opportunity to do things that can only be done there. So in that sense, much like spaceflight, where you really can't afford to make mistakes from the standpoint of the safety of the people involved, you have to plan everything extremely carefully. You can't run to the hardware store to pick up something that you might have left behind. So it's a tremendous planning and then extremely careful execution to ensure safety.
Rick Heave is the Vice President of Information Systems and Global Solutions at Lockheed Martin. As you say, you can't just go outside for what you need. So in that sense, space travel and working there are similar in that people are isolated by the environment. And, of course, it's dangerous. You can't get back to
exactly
the safety of civilization without the tether of logistics. So what, being a former astronaut, are you in a position to help people with understand the psychological implications of being so isolated?
Well, you know, I think as Lockheed Martin has a strong human factors element, we've done a lot of human factors work across a number of different customers, and so we bring that expertise to bear to help address this problem. And, of course, the National Science Foundation also has very long experience with working in this environment, and we'll learn from our customer in this regard.
I got to ask about the technology piece. Now, obviously, it's logistics. There's a lot of pieces to the contract of what Lockheed is doing. But how do you deal with, for instance, computers and keeping the network running, especially in that type of weather and in that remote region?
I think that this is one of the things that the National Science Foundation liked about the Lockheed Martin approach. We have, as you know, an incredibly strong IT background and portfolio. And we brought some ideas to support the National Science Foundation. We're just now in the very early days as the National Science Foundation decides which of the technological innovations we've brought forward that they'd like to innovate. But it's just doing the fundamentals first and doing them, you know, the right way every time, time after time.
Can you give us a sense of maybe whether some of the things that the National Science Foundation is considering based on your proposal?
You know, it's actually just too early to really say. We just got awarded this contract just before Christmas and went, you know, right into full-time operations with the team that's departing, handing over to us, as well as with the National Science Foundation. So I think we're just a little too early to speak to that.
Now, just talking about some of the logistics aspects of this, will Lockheed be operating aircraft in and out of that area, for example?
The aircraft are actually operated by the U.S. Air Force, but we'll provide all the planning of the logistics in support of that. There are research vessels that we will lease on behalf of the federal government. So it's a large logistics operation, but we don't fly the airplanes.
And how many people are there to be supported in these three stations in Antarctica?
Several hundred. It depends on the season, of course. It goes up to, you know, in the area of 1,000 in their summertime, so right now at that time frame. And then in the wintertime, it just gets down to, less than 100 at the South Pole itself. I think it's important to understand, too, there are really three stations. There are Palmer Island, McMurdo, which is the biggest of the stations, and then the South Pole station that sits right at the South Pole. And that's the one at the end that you have a few folks winter over every year, where not too many people are looking to volunteer for that one, where you're really, truly isolated for 6 months.
And during the summer season, as it is now, quote unquote, there, is it possible for people to walk outside for a few minutes?
Oh, sure. And in fact, that's part of the job, because scientists are traveling down there regularly to go to various places to do scientific research on, extremophiles or whatever it might be. And it's our job to make that possible and make it safe for them to do that.
When you talk about the summer season and other seasons, what does that change the way Lockheed will work with NSF? So, for instance, in the summer season, it's probably a little easier than it is when it's, in the deep, dark winter months. How does that change the way you guys deliver your services?
Well, the big difference, of course, is in the summer you have this large volume of people, goods. Everything's got to be shipped in, whether it's fuel or food or whatever it might be. It has to come in during the summertime when you can travel safely back and forth, and that's when you have the large, large in the sense of 1,000 people. I think there were that many people on 270 this morning, just that I could see. But, it's large in the sense of Antarctica, and then in the wintertime, then that drops off to such a small number because there really is no longer any transportation back and forth. That's your planning season. So now the team will be back in the United States doing all the planning for the next period of summer exploration and science.
And just a quick question, are there any animals down there? Does anything live there besides people inside their, their hutches?
No, I don't think you'll see any animals running around. You have to get your microscope out.